Are you ready to elevate your career with a professionally published book, but unsure where to start? I'm Lynn Aliquity-Smargis, and I work with thought leaders, executives, and speakers on how to write and self-publish their book with confidence. From conquering imposter syndrome to navigating book marketing, join me each week for practical wisdom and proven strategies, bringing you closer towards your goal of self-publishing success. Whether you're a CEO with revolutionary ideas or a speaker with an inspiring journey, the Publishing for Professionals podcast is your roadmap to becoming a published best-selling author.
Hey, friends and future authors, welcome back to another episode of Podcasting for Professionals. This week's episode is five essential facts every author needs to know about book editing. Book editing is so important. And I did my last solo on why it's important you have a professional editor and you have your book professionally edited and the reasons for that. So today we're going to talk about five essential facts you need to know about book editing before you even hire your book editor. We don't want to know this after we hire a book editor, but before. All right, my friends, but before we dive into today's episode, I want to give a big welcome back to my returning listeners and a big welcome to my new listeners. Make sure to hit that follow and subscribe button, depending on what platform you're at, so you get these amazing tips dropped to your YouTube player or podcast player every week. All right, my friends, before we dive into today's content, I would like to share a little story. So one of my clients who was looking for a book editor had sent me a copy of their book, because usually I ask people, like, send me a sample or a copy of your manuscript so I can look at it before I give them a price on editing, so I know how much editing is going to be needed in their book and can price accordingly. So someone sent me a copy of their book and it was not great. And apparently they had already had an editor edit it. And I don't know what this editor's criteria were or what their experience was or expertise, but it clearly wasn't editing. And this person had already paid, like, I think $2,000 or $3,000 to edit their book, and it was very poorly edited. So one of the things I would always recommend, my friends, is get a recommendation. So if you're going to hire an editor, ask them, hey, can I please have a email information from one of your clients? I would like to get their opinion on your editing. And if they say no, I would say move on to another editor. Like, I have clients who would be glad to just email, like, I can just do a three-way email, be like, hey, this person just wants information on how we did with editing your book. And of course, I always ask my client first and say, hey, I have someone who's looking at editing. Is it okay if I share your email with them so they can ask you about your experience with me? And they typically say yes. And then I just email introduce them and let them chat via email. And then that prospective client can find out what the experience was with my editing. So I would recommend that if you are seriously considering hiring an editor, and you should be, and you're down to like maybe 3 to 5 editors, I would ask them for recommendations on work they have done. Now, it doesn't have to be paid work, because if it's a new editor, they might just have a couple books, but they didn't get paid for them. That's perfectly fine. But it does have to be editing or someone that they've worked with before in writing content specifically. Because if it's not specifically content writing, you have no idea what the quality is or how that person works together. So I just wanted to give you that valuable piece of information. All right, my friends. So today we are going to be talking about the five facts every author should know about book editing. Fact number one, you cannot edit your book effectively, not edit your own book effectively, because you have what's called the blind spot reality. Your brain autocorrects what you mean to write. So your brain's thinking one thing and you are writing another. So that is one of the things where that happens all the time with editing. You're too close to your own content to see your problems, and you read what you intended to read, not what's actually on the page. I do all of these things. We all do all of these things. It's how the human brain works. This isn't a skill issue. It's a cognitive limitation. And if you're human, you have it. There's no way around it. The other thing I see a lot of with the books that I professionally edit is that people make the same mistake over and over and over again. So for example, I have a client right now. She uses ellipses and overuses ellipses. And when I did a search function on her chapters, she uses anywhere between 15 and 30 set of ellipses every chapter. Now, that is not professional writing. And if she were to edit her own book, she would not have known to take all those ellipses out, right? Ellipses can be used. There's nothing wrong with using them. However, it is very rare that you need to use ellipses, right? It's not very common. So you need to make sure that you're appropriately using ellipses, M dashes. Like, another thing that people do is they like to make 3 question marks at the end of a sentence. That's not professional. Texting is fine. I do that with texting, whatever. It doesn't matter if your grammar is incorrect when you're texting your friend or your family member, but it does matter if you are putting incorrect grammar in your book. So we tend to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. I see it in all my clients. Another mistake a lot of people make is they use a lot of fuzzy words. So what I call fuzzy words is when people say something or stuff or maybe or sort of or whatever. It's not descriptive and it really depowers your book. It's what I call depowering, right? So you're not using descriptive words. So it's taking power away from your words. And that's really important to know. You don't want to use those fuzzy words. So that's, I correct a lot of fuzzy words when I'm editing as well. Okay, so professional writers hire editors. So I have hired an editor for my professional writing. I am professionally writing a fiction romance book, a contemporary romance, with another writer who's also a professional editor and has been a professional editor for over 2 decades. We have hired a professional editor for our book because we are in our own heads and we're not going to see all the mistakes, even though we have done 6 or 7 self-edits to the book already and have spent over 100 hours writing this book. We still cannot find the errors that we are making, right? Not all of them. We will find most of them, but not all of them. And that's the difference between a good book and a great book. So make sure that you have a professional editor, right? Stephen King has editors. Malcolm Gladwell has editors. Your writing ability doesn't equal editing ability or editing success. And fresh eyes will catch what your familiar eyes are going to miss. So know that professional distance creates objectivity. And that is what helps to make your book a better book. The dangers of DIY editing, like we said before, you can overlook your repetitiveness and your redundancies, and you're blind to unclear explanations and logical gaps in your own book because you are not seeing them as unclear explanations because your head is filling in that information for what it is. I'm currently been working with a client who I'm developmentally editing their book, and they have a lot of terms in there that most people wouldn't understand because they're slang terms. So I told this person, we need to explain what this term means because people don't know it. And that person replied back, I was like, oh yeah, I didn't think about that. Of course she wouldn't. She's writing her book and that she knows that because that slang term is in her head and she knows that definition, but her readers won't. And that's where you're going to lose readers, right? If they're not understanding what you're saying. Now, there is, you may say, well, Lynn, what about the element of like surprise or the element of like, oh, that's really cool or fascinating? Yes, but you still need context and you still need to explain to your readers what is happening in your book. If you leave too much out, that's not mysterious. That's a reader that's not going to read your book any further than that point, right? Because they need to know enough background information. So keep that in mind. You also have typos and errors and other errors that damage your credibility, and you're going to be blind to logical gaps in your book because, again, your head's going to fill those in, all right? So self-editing is the first draft cleanup. So once you get your rough draft done, you can go in and self-edit it once or twice. Sometimes people will put it in AI and say, hey, can you tell me about this aspect of my book? How can I improve my writing? But AI is good for a self-edit, but it is not. It is not a professional editor, my friends. I am a professional editor. I edit things that people have written in AI, and I can tell they've written it in AI because it has grammar mistakes, it has spelling mistakes, it has tons of references mistakes. Never use AI for your research. And it has other mistakes that make you look not credible, and you don't want to look not credible in your book, especially when you're handing it out for your business card. So professional editing is your quality assurance, even if you've done multiple editing passes, because those are always necessary. But you still need to hire a professional editor to do your developmental editing, your line editing. If you want to do your copy editing in Grammarly, you can do that, or your grammar editing. That's not as big of a deal. Sometimes depending on, you know, where your strengths are, though. But you do want to hire professional editors to help you develop your book. And you absolutely have to hire professional editors if you want to pitch to any publisher, because you want your book to be strong when you go in the first time, not the second time or third time, because then you've taken another 2 years to publish your book by that time that happens. You are better off spending the investment up front, getting an editor to make your book as strong as possible before you submit to that publisher. On that point, a publisher is not going to take you seriously if you keep having to resubmit 2 and 3 times the same book, right? They're going to get tired of seeing your book and they're eventually just going to like toss it off their desk. I mean, I would if I was a publisher And I kept seeing the same book with the same mistakes. So go in strong, hire a developmental and aligned editor, and make sure that there are good editors that are experienced and have some work underneath their belt, and that they are going to do an excellent job on your book and that they're communicative with you as well. Okay. Budget for professional help from the start. Fact number two, there are different types of editing and you need more than one. So developmental editing is the big picture, structure and content, your organizational flow, your chapter structure, your transitions, your content gaps and redundancies, your audience alignment. Are you speaking to your audience? Your book shouldn't be for everyone. Your book should be for a certain audience. For example, my book, The Guide to Traveling Gluten-Free, is for people who are gluten-free because they're allergic to gluten, such as people who are celiac and have an autoimmune condition, or people who have Hashimoto's and they can't eat gluten because it makes them sick. So those people who also love to travel are fabulous readers for my book. So you need to know who your audience is. And when I work with my clients and I do book coaching, I give them what's called a book focus template so we can figure that all out from the beginning so that there's no question on what the book focus should be. Audience alignment, timeline. Timeline shapes your entire book. So make sure that developmental editor is going to help you with the timeline. So those are all the things the developmental editor will do. Line editing, sentence level clarity and style, structure and flow, word choice and voice, pacing and readability, tone consistency. Okay. And then you get a line edit after your developmental edit. That's another mistake I see people make all the time. So I am with an organization called EFA. It's Editorial Freelancers Association. And I get work through there because people hire editors through EFA. And I have gotten queries. There's like, I've gotten a line edit. I actually just got a query today in my email inbox and says, I have had hired a professional line editor and now I want to get a developmental editor. It's like, you literally just did that backwards. Like you always want to hire a developmental editor first because you're going to change the content after the developmental editor. So that person just wasted their money getting a line edit because now they're going to have to add more content and get another line edit after their developmental edit. So developmental editing always comes first. And then you want to get your line editing. And third, you want to get your copy editing, which is your grammar, punctuation, spelling, and capitalization. You also want a style guide. This is a really big thing that I see a lot of people miss out on, is that they don't have a style guide. And I am going to do another different episode on what is a style guide and why you need one. So make sure you hit that like, follow, or subscribe button so that you get this dropped to you when you need it. Next is proofreading. That's the final error catching, typos and formatting issues, last minute catches on grammar mistakes before publication, and a final quality check. And this is the very last step before you are going to format your book. Why you can't skip levels. Each one addresses these different issues. Doing them in the wrong order wastes money, like I mentioned earlier. Skipping developmental editing gives you structural problems that are remaining in your book. Skipping proofreading is embarrassing grammar errors that are going to slip through. What most professional authors invest in is proofreading and copy editing at a minimum, but I would always recommend, what I recommend at a minimum is developmental line editing, because that's your big picture stuff, right? So you need to budget $2,000 to $5,000 for editing, or more, depending on how much editing you want to, professional editing you want to hire, right? But the cost of skipping that editing is damaged reputation and lost opportunities and loss of income. So you definitely don't want to skip these. All right, my friends, when we come back, we're going to do the other three essential facts every author should know about editing. So stay tuned. We will be back in just one moment. Hey friends, we're back with the second half of today's episode, five essential facts every author should know about their book editing. All right, essential fact number three, editing takes longer than you think. Okay, so there are realistic timeline expectations. And if you have an editor that is like the editor I just hired, well, me and my co-author hired for our romance fiction book, we had to wait 3 months to get her to edit our book. And we knew this ahead of time. So you have to know how backed up the editor is. I am typically 6 weeks out, sometimes four, depending on how much work I have and how fast it takes to get it done. Like right now, I'm 8 weeks out. So because one of my clients had a little bit of a tech issue, so it took a little longer to get through that edit. So make sure you know in advance, ask the editor, how far out are you booking your work? So they know, right? But once your editor starts work, you should be able to have that done depending on the type of editing. So developmental editing typically takes around 4 weeks, line editing 2 to 3, copy editing 2, and proofreading 1 to 2. So it's depending on the type of editing you have, it's going to take a longer time. For me, it actually, those times are in half because I work really fast and I process information and I write 2 to 8, 10,000 words a day. So for me, a developmental edit typically takes a week. For me, it takes a lot shorter time. So if you're in a crunch, you definitely want to find out more about my editing. I would be happy to help you at writeforyou.me. Hit me up on the contact form or book a discovery call, and I can help you out with your dev editing in a much shorter amount of time if you're on a timeline crunch. Okay, but total time with professional edits is about 4 months. In that time, you can be work on your marketing plan. You'll be going back and forth with your editor. There's lots of other things you can do for your book in that time, buy your ISBNs, okay? Why rushing editing backfires? If you are rushing your editing, rush jobs cost more and deliver less. Great, errors are going to slip through because your timeline is compressed and your book deserves proper time for your refinement. You have to plan your publishing timeline accordingly. Work backward from your launch date. Add buffer time for your unexpected delays. Account for your review time between editing stages. And look at any holiday and or vacations that you have and or your editor has that could impact your date that it's done. Now, if you have a talk or a speech, that definitely applies, right? Because you have to have your book out by a certain day. Or if you're a thought leader, you just want it to be out by a certain time because there's a time of year that your industry does big launches, then that's really important. But some people don't have a strict timeline. And if you don't, then you don't have to worry as much about the timeline editing. Although it will get really tedious if you have to keep waiting for people a long time. So still know how long it's going to take and how long you have to wait for that edit to happen. So the revision loop reality is that editing is not once and done. Okay, you're going to receive an edited manuscript. You'll need to review it. Some sections are going to require an additional pass. Each editing stage might reveal another issue that you need to take care of in a future edit or the current edit. So build in time for review for your edits, right? So what I do with my clients is that I start to edit their work. I share them the document I'm editing. I tell them to please look at the edits. I will continue editing this way. If there's a question about the editing, I stop editing. We can meet on Zoom. We can talk about what it is that we need to change moving forward. I change those things for them. And then they continue to edit their work. And then at the end, they go through and do all their comments. And then once they are through their comments, we make a time together where we go over their work on Zoom live, real time, one-to-one, and clean up any other edits or any other issues that they need. And then I clean them up and then they have a finished editing job. That's how that works with me. Every editor is different. So make sure that you know what your editor's process is. That's super, super important. Okay, fact number 5, good editing costs money and it's worth every penny. So a developmental edit can cost anywhere between 5 and 12 cents a word. A copy edit between 2 and 5 cents. A proofread is 1 to 3 cents. An average 60,000 word book is going to run you from $2,000 to $5,000. Okay, so editor experience, book complexity, timeline, and book length will affect your price, right? You're not going to pay the same for a 50,000 word edit as you are for a 100,000 word edit. So editors give you lots of different prices. You need to find one that's within your budget and has a decent amount of experience. Make sure you know that going in. If you are not giving an editor a lot of money, like for example, I'm part of the Editorial Freelancers Association and people post jobs that they need for editing on there. So I go on there and like on a daily basis to see what jobs are listed. One time I saw a person, they said, I have a 60,000 word book. I have $500 to pay for someone to edit this. And it was like a line edit. Sure, you can pay someone $500 to line edit your book. Is it worth it? No, I would say save your money because that's not going to be a quality edit. Anyone who's going to line edit your book that's 50 or 60,000 words for $500 isn't going to do a good job, right? Cheap editing is expensive because inexperienced editors miss critical issues. Poor editing damages your professional reputation, and one lost speaking opportunity because of that bad editing cost more than if you were to pay somebody for quality editing in the first place. Because remember, your book resents you for years to come. So invest accordingly in those years to come that your book is going to represent you. All right, fact number 5, there is an ROI for perspective for professional authors. So professional editing gives you higher speaking fees because your book is a better quality. Your quality book attracts better clients. Your quality book gets you more speaking gigs that pay you better and more media opportunities because you have a professional presentation, okay? Your investment comparison is editing versus damaged reputation and editing versus not getting paid as much or not getting anything that you are going to be able to use. Some red flags. As a bonus sixth fact you need to know, prices significantly below market rate. That is a red flag. Editors who don't specialize in your genre. That could be a red flag depending. Unclear about what's included in the price. Very big red flag. No contract or revision policy. If you don't know how many revisions you get and they're not clear on it, extremely big red flag. I can do it all. Editors who claim every specialty, huge red flag run the other way. I mean, I am a ghostwriter, right? But I don't do copy and proof. That is not my thing. I don't care how amazing the book is, copy and proof. I refer out to another editor that is a fabulous copy and proof editor. But I don't ever do copy and proof editing. It's not my thing. And so I do some like copy editing. If I'm doing line editing, I'll fix things that I see, but that's not a specialty for me. So I refer it to another editor. And anybody who says I can do it all, that is not true, right? You can't do fiction and nonfiction really, really well. I do some fiction developmental editing, but that's it. Like I don't write fiction. For ghostwriting, I write it for my personal, but I don't do it for a client. I don't do line editing for fiction, copy or proof for fiction. So there's many things I don't do, but there are specialties I do work in, and that's nonfiction, ghostwriting, developmental editing, line editing, formatting, and book cover design. I also do book coaching because I know how to guide people, especially new authors, through the publishing process. So make sure that you budget realistically for that because the right editor makes all the differences. So that's really, really important to know that all of these things when you're looking for an editor. My friends, this has been really great. I hope you have learned a lot from this episode. And remember, you are representing your book and your book is representing you. So you need to make sure that you have the right quality book to put out there, especially if you're using this for your business calling card. Okay. I love working with new authors. So if you are having any of these difficulties or you need to find an editor for your nonfiction book, definitely go to writeforyou.me and book your discovery call. That's writeforyou.me. Book your discovery call today because I can stand by your side and walk you through the publishing process with a fabulous professional edit that is going to sound great and represent you very well out in the field. One of my most recent clients, I edited his financial book for, he has 65-star reviews. So if you want those 5-star reviews on your book, go to my website, www.writeforyou.me, click on the discovery call button, and I can do that same thing for you. All right, until next week, my friends, this is Lynn Aliquity reminding you to keep writing, keep dreaming, and keep creating. Your book is waiting to be born. Thanks for joining me today on the Publishing for Professionals podcast. I really hope this episode has equipped you with an actionable strategy for your publishing journey. If you found the information on today's show valuable, make sure to rate and leave a review for my show on your favorite podcast player. And also subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and get the next episode dropped as soon as it's published. Until next week, this is Lynn Aliquity reminding you to keep writing, keep dreaming, and keep creating. Your book is waiting to be born. This podcast is brought to you by Unicorn Publishing Company. The information in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The content shared by the host, guests, and affiliates is not intended to substitute for professional, legal, or financial advice, or any professional advice specific to your situation. Always seek the advice of a qualified professional with any questions you may have. The opinions expressed on the show by the host or guests are those of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of Unicorn Publishing Company. Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, guests, and affiliates are not responsible or liable for any decisions made by listeners or actions taken hereto based on the information discussed in this podcast. By listening to this podcast, you acknowledge and agree to release Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, affiliates, and guests from any liability.